Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
What's up, buds?
To this end, hit along the wall, a puck to the left point, kept in by Orpik, down in front, a shot, and they score! And it's Devontae Smith-Pelly on a save at the left point! DSP save of the day! We're tied at three with 10:08 to go! How about Devontae? The Caps win life here in Game 5!
Welcome back to Japers Rink Radio. I'm your host, Greg Young. And today we have a new episode and a new theme for the summer. I like a lot of kind of people around the Caps community, have found, particularly when I became a Capitals fan, that being a Caps fan can kind of be a bit of a journey into terms of how people become fans and kind of everyone's view of fandom. And I think that's an interesting question. And I kind of want to provide an on-ramp to people to both joining the Caps community, but also to joining the hockey community writ large. So today I'm going to bring, or I have, and three people have graciously agreed to come on, Marie Smith Fatuba and Lindsay Novak Duchesne. So, Fatu, let's start with you. Can you kind of introduce yourself? I know you've been on Japers Rink before, radio before, but how did you come to the Caps community? Kind of what's your story?
Sure. Hi, everybody. So excited to be back. My name is Fatu. I'm originally from Southwest DC, living in New York, and it's really funny because I actually watched my first game as a Capitals fan in New York. So essentially, I don't know if I said this before, but I guess I can repeat it. One of my really good friends who I met through watching Washington football in New York, his plug to me was, you know, might as well come watch hockey with us because all, you know, at least we beat New York teams. And it was the year that we were playing the Rangers in the playoffs and beat them in five to then immediately get swept by Tampa Bay. I was like, okay. I realized at that moment, the only thing, and I told him straight up, I was like, the only thing I know about Caps hockey is I know that there's Alex Ovechkin, like I could point him out, but that was like the start and the end of what I knew about Caps hockey. And when the game started, or at least when I got there, I don't even know if the game had started by then, it was like a face-off. And I saw Alexander Semin, and I mispronounced his name. And it's like everybody at the bar, like, got quiet and the music stopped. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm about to get thrown out. And they were, like, cheering. And I was like, I got to watch this now. Like, this player intrigues me. So, yeah, I've been hooked since.
There you go. There you go. And Fatu, I know that you you also lead the NYC Caps crew, which is I've actually been to a couple of their events. I know it's a lot of fun. So kind of briefly talk about that a little bit and kind of how that kind of came to be.
Sure. So I think by that time, Phil, as much as I'll take the credit, say I lead it, I actually did not create it. The guy who told me to watch the game with him, he actually created it. But since he doesn't really have socials here, I'll just take the credit. But so when I started joining, it's probably the second season that the crew has been in effect, and it was maybe like five or six people. They got together. You guys can correct me because you know the history better than me. They got together to watch game 7 against the Penguins, in which they just got like beat up, and they wind up watching it at a bar that has all this music, and they can't even be upset like they want to be because they're losing, because there's so many people at the club like dancing. And the next year he was like, yeah, so we need our own space so that we can commiserate when we finally lose, or if we happen to ever win, we can like celebrate together. So it kind of started as a word of mouth thing that people we watch football with together. It's like, hey, even if you don't like hockey, come watch with us. You don't have to know anything. We can teach you. And that's how it started. And then like fast forward a couple of years, like Facebook started doing groups. So we got a Facebook group. We went to an Islanders playoff game. Some crazy things happened where we ended up in the newspaper, and Dan Steinberg actually linked to our Facebook group, which is how probably the majority of people heard about us and started meeting up with us. I feel like maybe that's when I met Marie.
Yeah. Well, that, yeah. Fatu, you transitioned me perfectly. So Marie, we had you on last year, but kind of refresh everyone, kind of what was your path towards Caps fandom, and how do you know Fatu?
So my path was a lot less interesting, I'd say. So I ended up kind of becoming a Caps fan and a hockey fan in general at random. I was already a big Wizards fan, and I used to go down to when it was still called the Verizon Center all the time to watch them lose. And, you know, while you're there, I would see all of these posters about the Capitals, but the only thing I'd ever known about hockey was that Wayne Gretzky played at one point. But I did know that Ovi played for the team because I was a big fan of Dan Steinberg's DC Sports blog. So I would read pieces about the team, but I didn't know anything about what they were actually doing. And then at some point, I was watching the Wizards get eliminated from the playoffs, as they always do. And
it's a theme for DC Sports, is it not?
Exactly. It's like, okay, well, this is coming to a close. And just at random, I was just flipping through channels the next day to see when, you know, just used to going to the sports channel and the Capitals were playing. And I was like, well, I don't have anything else to do. I guess I'll just sit down and watch this. And so I watched a game in my house by myself. And I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. So I just started watching the game by myself. I didn't know anyone else who watched hockey. I never went to a game. I learned the rules on Wikipedia. And then actually the first time I actually went to go see the Capitals play in a regular season game was with the NYC Caps crew. I had moved to Yay! New York to work. I had moved to New York for work, and I found them on Facebook. I just looked up. I was like, were there any Capitals fans in New York so I don't have to go by myself? I ended up going to, I think it was just some game that we watched at a bar. And then they were like, hey, we're getting tickets. You want to go to the game? I said, sure. So I bought my ticket, and my first Caps game was an away game. I actually never saw them play at home until I think it was 2018. That's the first time I saw them play at home.
Oh, that was a good time to start.
It was a good time
to
start.
I was like, lucky you.
It was a great time to start. So I've been a fan for a bit over a decade now. But yeah, just kind of fell into it, and it's a ton of fun.
There you go. And Lindsay, I actually have never heard your cap story because this is your inaugural appearance on Japers Rink Radio. So I guess kind of introduce everyone to yourself and kind of I know that there's a certain caps gathering that you helped facilitate and create. So kind of tell everyone your story a little bit.
Well, first off, thank you so much for having me. This is an honor, especially being amongst Fatu and Marie. This is really cool.
Love you, Lindsay.
I love you. I've only met them on Twitter, so this is cool hearing people's voices. But so I became a Caps fan when I was maybe 7 or 8 years old. My dad moved from Prague. My dad liked watching hockey over there. And we moved to Ashburn and he was like, all right, well, what's the local teams? And, you know, they got to have that here. It's super fun overseas. So we found the Capitals. And I mean, like back, it was MCI Center back in the day, 90s, watching Peter Bondra. And it was like they were giving tickets away. It was dead empty. I remember being so embarrassed in middle school because you could literally hear when my dad yelled at the refs, you could hear it like echo. And I'd be like, oh my God, shut up. They can hear you. That's so embarrassing. So it's incredible seeing how big it's become and how crowded. And like, I struggle to get tickets now and I could never be happier about that. I love it. But I also like, I really struggled finding anybody else that liked hockey, anyone that got into hockey. It was because I dragged them to Kettler or games or, you know, was showing them how to play in PE. So Caps prom became a thing because I also figured we don't have enough opportunities to get dressed up and just look glamorous while watching sports. So that's coming up again, either this year or in 2022. And it's going to be the third year of Caps prom. I can't wait to have it because it's really cool also having an environment where, you know, people like Fatu, Marie, everybody can kind of get together and see each other in person instead of just, you know, tweet at one another and have a community where you can just enjoy the game with one another. I really love that. So
yeah. And Marie, I kind of want to pitch this to you first and then we'll get to everyone else. I guess I'm kind of curious how your engagement with the Caps community started. Because I know that you mentioned that you kind of became captivated by the game. So kind of you mentioned the NYC Caps crew, but kind of what was your path towards, you know, the Caps community writ large really like?
I'd probably say it was just me following random people on Twitter. I know I followed a couple of people from the NYC Caps crew and just started tweeting at them and branched out from there. As anyone who follows me probably is well aware, I started my Twitter account as a K-pop fan account,
which is still a big theme, which I really enjoy. You provide a lot of my K-pop knowledge, which I appreciate.
At first, I was like, "Oh man, maybe I should separate this out," and then I was like, "These people will deal.
people will adjust."
I just started following people and talking to people, and then it just kind of organically drew from there. So outside of the NYC Caps crew, really the Caps community that I've met, the other fans that I've either met in person or know online, has really just been through Twitter. Twitter has its pros and its cons, but I think at least for me, it's been a great way to connect with other fans, talk about the game. You know, you can, to a certain extent, curate your own experience on the website. So, you know, I follow a lot of other Caps fans. We talk during the game, after the game, all that stuff. So it's cool. You know, I really like being able to talk with people about a sport that I don't really know a lot of fans of in person. You know, I did not grow up in a hockey family. Hockey was not big at Howard University, as you might imagine. So it's been a great way to just kind of connect with other fans in the community that I might not have otherwise been able to connect with.
Yeah, and Fatu, I think we know you kind of mentioned your story about the NYC Caps crew. So I guess let me kind of ask it this way. I think you've been a Caps fan and been kind of involved in the Caps community a lot. How do you think it's changed and grown in the last maybe like 5-10 years since you've been a part of it?
So that's a very good question. So I think that to Marie's point, Twitter has been so instrumental. And it's very interesting because the way it's been so instrumental is like there's not many people in the hockey like fan base who really look like me and Marie who are also tweeting. Yes. So I feel like somehow it's a little easy to find us. And when I think of like, oh, it's just like other people like us who are just fans, it turns into sometimes the reporters because they see you're on a hashtag. So they put your tweet on TV. Or like somehow maybe some of the players do that. So and somehow then, like community spaces that we work in. I know for us with NYC Caps crew, and Marie was very instrumental in that when Devontae Smith-Pelly had that horrible incident happen to him in Chicago. I really appreciated on Twitter seeing that the Chicago fan base were like, what is his favorite charity? We're going to raise money. They raised like a good amount of money. I want to say 30K, 50K. You guys can keep me honest. And I remember looking at my friend Justin, and it was also 2018. I think that year was just special for many reasons. I was like, why aren't people seeing on Twitter what his favorite charity was for DuPont, that the Blackhawks fans raised all that money for him. It's like, why haven't the NYC Caps crew done something similar? Like, we felt like, you know, we're a very diverse organization that loves to watch hockey. How come we didn't think earlier to take it to the next step and help our community? So I'm very thankful for Twitter and seeing how other people have engaged with the community. So that's what NYC Caps crew started doing. And actually, the last game of the season of the 2017-2018 season, we dedicated it to raising money for Fort DuPont, which is an incredible organization, if you guys do not know.
Amen to that.
I want to say we raised about 7,000. We had like Devontae Smith-Pelly swag, and he actually reached out and said, I've heard about what you guys were doing. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Grant Paulson and some other reporters in DC area, like they saw what we were doing, and they like had us on the pregame shows, like talking about it. So Twitter has been just an incredible way for us to connect, given that we all live in New York. And like Marie, like my first Caps game in DC was maybe a year or two after I started actually watching the game. And I want to say another way for me that I connected was when I start to like something, I'm like Marie, I'm always on Wikipedia learning everything. And one thing that got me also close to Caps hockey was then seeing when Joel Ward scored that goal against Boston in the playoffs. I was like, wait a minute, how come it took me so long to find out somebody looks like me on this team? and it just was like, well, this is like my team. Like, not only is it my DC team, but I got a hero who looks like me. And then we have another hero who's the reason that we won the cup. So it's like, it was just meant to be.
Yeah. And Lindsay, you're the most veteran Caps fan, I think, of all of us, and me included. Kind of how have you seen the Caps community grow since the days of the half empty MCI Center, and kind of what has that been like?
Oh, thank God. It was so, no offense to anybody listening, but oh my God, it was boring. I mean, there's only so many times you can hear, you know, this white kid, this very wealthy suburban white kid, talk about Alex Semin or, you know, how incredible Wayne Gretzky is. So just any other perspective, and especially the like kind of explosion of diversity has been so, so, so welcome. And I really, really hope it continues on this trajectory, because it's been really, really good for the sport. I love it. It's making it a lot more tolerable, and it's keeping me roped in. You know, if heartbreak after heartbreak didn't make me quit, I think the Twitter discourse would have, but it's people like Fatu and Marie and New York Caps crew just keeping me roped in. So thank God for them.
Yeah.
I will say it's all for this community. I agree. Like what we would say at NYC Caps crew is before we finally won the big one, we would say nobody has more fun losing than us. We would just always lose. We would just lose so tragically. Like, I feel like, well, I think the Maple Leafs created new ways to lose, but before they were back in the playoffs,
just losing tragically. We just invented ways to lose. And it's like, thank God I was watching with my community of NYC cast crew, because we just could find a way to laugh about it, to chant, to sing Whitney Houston's Didn't We Almost Have It All? Just something to make us not want to like go walk out in traffic, because we were just so angry that somehow we messed up. We just found a new way to lose. So I love this community. I also think we're super lucky, this community. Like, this is a DC community, so you're gonna find more often than not a fan that looks like me and Marie and Lindsay than maybe other fan bases. And I, you know, I'm just happy that the Twitter cast community has embraced us so much.
Yeah. And Lindsay, you were about to say something.
Oh, no, I was just about to say it. You know, for a while there, I was thinking, oh, my God, do I like getting hurt? What's wrong with me? It's so no, that just made 2018 all the sweeter. So
absolutely. And Fatu, speaking of things that unify the Capitals community, I never see the Caps community more unified than when Tom Wilson is in the news. That's my attempt at a transition to Wilson, because you guys can rate that however you want. But I'm gonna give myself a C+ for that one. But anyways,
good transition.
So, oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
It's a great transition, and I'm laughing because I don't even know what I'm gonna say, but it's gonna be something epic.
All right, well, I'm excited. So the news that broke today was that the New York, a couple of pieces of New York Rangers related news, one of which is an old clip that circulated of Gerard Gallant saying that if it wasn't for Tom Wilson, the Vegas Golden Knights would have won the Stanley Cup, which is a strange take. And then the other kind of more important piece of news being that the New York Rangers seem eager in trying to figure out a solution to their Tom Wilson problem, which is a another interesting movement from them. Fatu, I know you have a lot of Tom Wilson takes and thoughts.
I do.
So
I'm ready.
The floor is yours. By all means, so, go ahead.
I'm going to start with this. And I'm stealing another phrase from Marie. Clearly, we've had many conversations about this in our watching history. But I specifically and NYC Caps crew has loved Tom Wilson before it was fashionable. So when he was just like on the fourth line with like 2 minutes of ice and not on anybody's radar, we loved that kid. Like, we actually did a meetup at Rangers. We got a suite. My friend has a great job, so we got a suite, and it was his birthday. And we beat the Rangers, and we were singing happy birthday to him in the suite. All that to say that we've loved him before he was on any of these coaches' radar. And I will always appreciate Barry Trotz for saying, you know what? We have Ovi and we have Kuzi. So how do we make teams ignore them? Let's put Tom Wilson on that first line. And yeah. So going to like what you said about was crazy, what Gallant said, so he's kind of right, because he's definitely the reason we beat the Pens, and that the Pens have like died way sooner than they should, because this was a two-time, they went back to back winning the cup and were so scared of Tom Wilson that they dismantled what worked for them and now are not really getting out the first round. So he's right, that's then how we beat Vegas. I think that, you know, he's a very polarizing character, and I know that I tend to be a Tom Wilson apologist. Do I believe he needs to change his game? Yes. Simply because he is a great player that is needed, that is our future captain, who can score. And these coaches are getting more and more savvy on how they're trying to literally get him specifically out the game. Not him out the game because he's dangerous, because I don't know if they necessarily believe that, because they have no problems with Ryan Reeves until a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh. Yep.
But because he's effective. And so he does need to, like, just be more aware that all eyes are on him simply because he is effective. He's effective for us specifically. So they are trying to get him out the game. That said, you know, I think he's an incredible guy in the community. You never hear about him being late to practices, oversleeping, or doing anything crazy like that. So he's, you know, I'm glad that he's on our side. I'm glad he's going to be our future captain. You know, what happened in New York, I think a lot of the reasons people freaked out were the optics. He's on Broadway. He's going to be bigger than everybody else. So his hit is going to be different than Brad Marchand's hit.
Yeah.
That's truly, to me, one of the bigger differences, that his hits are going to be harder. He's a bigger guy. So he, and he's a fast guy and he's an effective guy. So he just needs to be a little more aware. But the optics of him, like, doing the Hulk when he's, like, in the box after, like, dismantling their entire team, that's why people went crazy. But the New York Rangers are going to learn the lesson that the Pittsburgh Penguins have learned. They actually try to get less Mikas and try to get a Tom Wilson, because that's a rare player, Tom Wilson. Because, like, you can say, oh, yeah, Ryan Reeves counteracts him. Well, Ryan Reeves, game five, was sitting next to me eating hot dogs. So, no, he does not counteract him.
There you go.
So, you know, if the Rangers want to seriously, like, they were so close to making the playoffs, and I was afraid of them for the playoffs because their little kids can skate, and they seem to have the better hand over us till they lost their mind. So if they want to go and find their solution to Tom Wilson, I say let them. And if they want to give us Mika and all these little other skilled players in the process, I say let them. We should just let them do it.
There you go. There you go. And Marie, I know you're on the other side of these conversations sometimes with Fatu. So I guess I'll ask you about Tom Wilson, and I'll kind of forward it into the, I think I and some people get a little tired of what I kind of have called the quote unquote Tom Wilson discourse. I think you do a very good job, though, of kind of filtering out the voices that are maybe on the more annoying side of that. So kind of how do you balance, you know, enjoying Tom Wilson by, but also not going insane by all the dialogue around him?
Well, I mean, I think it's because, at least for me personally, I think a lot of the Tom Wilson dialogue is driven by emotion rather than fact. So, you know, is it a fact that Tom Wilson has thrown a number of dangerous hits, whether or not they were, you know, against the NHL rules, that have resulted in injury? Yes. But he's not, as some people would love to tell you, he's not a sociopath, you know? And I think when something happens, because of the reputation that he has, a lot of people look at things through, I say, the least generous lens. Anytime, if Tom Wilson has a regular 2-minute penalty for a trip, the internet blows up because, oh, he did it on purpose. It was a slew foot. It was intentional. Like, no, it's like, it's
a trip.
It's a minor
sometimes
penalty.
A trip is just a trip, you know?
Yeah, sometimes it's a minor penalty. Like, everyone takes minor penalties. It's okay. And then, you know, one thing that people who follow me on Twitter may know about me is, you know, since I'm a lawyer, I'm a nerd, and I like going through and reading the league's, like the CBA, I like reading the league's justifications for its various Department of Player Safety decisions. And I think, you know, the incident in New York is a great example. I think a lot of people, they take the logic out of it and they just go on pure emotion. And so for them, Tom Wilson's a bad guy. Somebody got hurt tangling with Tom Wilson. That definitely means it's a suspension and it should be 40 games.
Yeah.
Now, when you actually break those things down into its parts, none of that makes any sense. It doesn't make any sense given the facts on the ice. It doesn't make any sense given the league's position when it comes to player safety, if you want to call it that. So a lot of it is just driven by the dialogue. Is just driven by the dialogue.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like going through and reading the Department of Player Safety's justifications for not just Wilson suspensions, which are too often, but other suspensions. And I always find it interesting how often things that have nothing to do with Tom Wilson get tied back to him, even in official league literature. Like, it's truly bizarre. You would think that he's the most popular player in the league.
And I thought that he was playing for the Avalanche because when Nazem Kadri made that hit, somehow I heard about Tom Wilson. Isn't he home right now? Like,
saying. Like, Tom Wilson is fostering puppies and trying to convince me to buy yogurt home delivery. Everyone's talking about what the abs are doing. So, you know, it's interesting. For me, I try to, at least part of it, the discussion, I try to give it a relatively objective viewpoint. You know, the CBA says this. The league traditionally punishes this type of hit or this type of infraction differently than X type of infraction. These are the ways that it likes to escalate punishment for players who are, I'd say, frequent flyers for the Department of Player Safety. I like looking at it from that lens.
Sure.
But then the other part of me is like, look, I love Tom Wilson. I don't care. Like, I don't. People can say what they want. He would have to do a heck of a lot for me to stop liking him. So from just a purely selfish standpoint, I don't necessarily think he needs to completely change his game, because that would take away from what makes him an effective player. I much prefer when he's on the right side of the line, because then I don't have to hear about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I mean, he's a villain. We love it. He plays the villain role really well until, you know, like Marie said, I'd rather him not deliver a ridiculous hit simply because I do enjoy a good villain and he's a good one, but I don't want people, you know, getting hurt or trying to say then it turns and he's a sociopath and it's intentional and you can tell in his eyes.
And he needs to go to therapy or something, you know.
Or jail. Send him to jail.
Send him to jail. Oh, yeah. I guess, Lindsay, you being the Caps veteran of the group, you've seen Tom Wilson kind of grow from a fourth line player under Adam Oates who mostly fought to the player he is today. Kind of, I guess, reflect on that a little bit, and kind of where do you think Tom Wilson needs to go from here?
I gotta say, I love the Hershey Bears. I've been to a bunch of their games. And the one thing that you always see with AHL players trying to make it in the NHL is, what do? In the AHL, they fight. That's how they get attention. They are like theater kids, but instead of like screeching at one another, they throw fists and they get in a little scrums. And they do a lot of stupid stuff, because you get, you know, that much testosterone on the ice. They're going to be real dumb and they all want to be the star of the show. So, I mean, that's kind of what Tom Wilson was doing in the very, very, very beginning. But I mean, the minute he got kind of moved up to the big leagues, he still got some on the ice to be the villain, to be the big, you know, bad guy. But holy hell, that kid is so talented.
Yes.
He is so extremely talented. And that's why, I mean, seeing his game kind of evolve from, you know, socking a guy in the mouth to, you know, as the enforcer, to, you know, making these plays and goals and first line and breaking teams down to the point where the entire NHL is shaking in their boots because this kid's on the ice is amazing. And I love every single ounce of it. With that said, Fatu better be right and he better be our future captain, because I never, ever, ever want to see the Caps go up against him. I think that would destroy me. I would never want to be on the receiving end of that dude. So
you were right. You got burned this tape if somehow something unfortunate happens and we got to play him. And believe me, if he was open to Seattle, you don't think they'd take him? Like all these fans who are saying how horrible he is, they are bugging because they want him on their team. Not a player like him. They want him.
Yes.
Because he is effective.
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous and very effective.
Let's talk about it. I mean, the handsome per 60 is through the roof.
Yeah, although I will say, can I get a group perspective on, because I know on the Japers Rink chat, we were discussing the Tom Wilson three-piece suit with the no sock look. Does that get a thumbs up from everyone here or not?
I mean, do you see that walk? Yeah. Naomi Campbell wishes she could. My God. He can't do anything wrong. And then I tell you, all these people who talk about him, meet him in person. You're not saying any of that to his face. You're saying, hi, Tom Wilson. We love you. Even though you're on the Capitals, I wish you were on my team. And I know they would say that. So,
yeah.
Personally, the no sock look is hard for me to accept. but I'm also not turning that man away. So socks, no socks, socks with sandals, it wouldn't make a difference.
Lindsay, are you in agreement with the hotness per 60? That's because that, you know, I for me, it's the, this is where I get to put my queer fan thing out there. I mean, I definitely like that's the guy I kind of gravitate towards on the Caps a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, honey, he can pull off anything. Let's be fair. He's not necessarily my type, but again, I wouldn't say no. It's hi, hello. He's the type of player that, you know, if I'm face to face with him, I'm just going to be dumb and smile and, oh, hi, hello, yeah. Hi.
I mean, we have an attractive team, so we're very lucky in that sense. Like, all of them are just handsome, just gorgeousness.
Yes. Hands down, we have the prettiest team.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I think what's been cool about having, I think, a more diverse fan base for the Caps and having, I think, a lot more women in it is, I think you get to have fun discussions like this. Not every discussion has to be about, oh, what is the Corsi first per 60 for each player? You know, it's kind of, I think part of what's fun about being a fan is just kind of shooting the for no better word, shooting the shit about these different players and kind of, you know, recognizing that they're people too.
Oh, absolutely. Like one of my favorite things about, I'd say, Caps Twitter, at least my section, my section, I don't own it, but the section of Caps Twitter is people pretty much just let you be a fan whichever way you want to be. I mean, at the end of the day, this is an entertainment product. We're all here to enjoy ourselves and have a little fun. I am a firm believer that as long as you're not harming anybody, you can enjoy something however you want to. So if you want to watch hockey and turn it into a math problem, have at it. If you want to watch hockey and all you want to see is fights all the time, have at it. If you want to watch hockey and you just want to, you know, make fan art of different players, have at it. Like, just enjoy it, you know, nothing, it doesn't make you less of a fan if you want to talk about the teams and the players kind of as entertainment personalities rather than just professional athletes. So if you see a player and you're like, hey, that guy's hot, don't feel like you need to be ashamed. Don't feel like you need to tone that down. Like,
agreed.
Like, if you love it and that's what brings you joy and that's what makes you happy and you're getting friends and having a good time, like, more power to you. Some of these guys are hot, some of them are not, and some of y'all you're just looking because they're hockey players, but, you know, your taste is your own.
I feel but called out.
Like, enjoy this as much as you want, however you want.
Yeah, agreed.
I 100% agree. And I love that our social media, they feed into it. Because I'm like, for example, let's go back to Tom Wilson in the foam roller. I didn't request that, but they gave me the content I wanted to see. And you know, right. Who reached out to me before I could see that? My friend who doesn't even like hockey. She was like, yo, look at your boy in the foam roller. I was like, see, that was good content because somebody who doesn't care about hockey, let alone Caps hockey, saw that and reached out to me. You know, they probably got some follows from that. And to Marie's bigger point, I think a big issue with hockey that I'm lucky not to really have found with our fan base is the gatekeeping.
Yes.
Like, I hate that so much because then it turns a little classist, it turns a little misogynistic, and it definitely turns a little racist. Mm. And I think what I love about being a newer fan in general is that for a lot, I can tell some people don't think I'll have an informed opinion, and I don't care. I can say things, and I said this before, like Tom Wilson's our future captain. I've said some other hot takes, and people look at me like I'm crazy, and it comes true, but I'm like, I'm not trying to do this for you to accept my opinion. I'm doing it from what I see, and maybe because I'm a newer fan, I see things in a different light than you. And I know you don't think that I'm correct anyway, but I'm still going to say my opinion. I'm not going to be afraid, or I'm not going to be like, oh, I just must talk stats. Sorry, that's boring. I think that, you know, for every person that talks stats, it's great to have a Stephen A, because I'm sure a lot of people saw when Stephen A was giving his, what, 10, 8, 5 facts about hockey. some of them I agreed with before I knew hockey. What did I know? The puck was black. I mean, it was entertaining hear his little, it was entertaining. And I don't know why people like, well, it's not like he's giving analysis. I'm like, duh, he's commentating and it's entertaining. Why wouldn't you want more eyeballs on this so that we have to, I mean, the more eyeballs we get, then hopefully we don't have to watch hockey on USA or CNBC or Outdoors Channel, I think, back in the day. Like, come on. Like, there's nothing wrong with these new voices. And the gatekeeping really is, to me, the biggest problem I've seen in this sport.
Yeah.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Lindsay, I mean, I know that I think you've been really a force for, I think everyone here has been, but I, you know, I think things like Caps Prom have been a good, a force for good in terms of preventing that kind of gatekeeping. So I guess, like, how do we kind of keep that moving forward and making sure that we're making hockey accessible to everyone who wants it?
Well, I'm trying to censor myself, so I'm not, you know, cursing like a sailor like I do usually.
Well, we got the, I think I already dropped a shit in here. So by all means, you know, feel free to expound upon your thoughts.
I mean, Fatu, thank you so much for bringing up the gatekeeping, because I mean, growing up, yeah, I had Richard Zednik's picture in my locker because I thought he was the handsomest boy. Thank you, Marie. He's definitely, don't Google his picture, by the way, in the 90s, because you will judge me hard. He had like horrible bleach tips. But I mean, I couldn't.
Well,
a
lot of people in the 90s, that was the thing, right?
So. Zed head was a little like, there's tasteful bleach tips and then there's a Zed head.
Oh.
But I mean, I couldn't mention, again, the only friends that I had that liked hockey were white boys. So I couldn't say, oh, I think he's handsome, because, well, you're just watching it because he's handsome. I couldn't say, I don't think they should have made that hit because, well, you're dumb. And he made it because it was strategic, or it was just so much gatekeeping on gatekeeping, to the point where I hate math and I had to learn the stats. Well, not really had to, but I learned the stats. I learned, like, okay, the plus minus after this game, because I would have to spiel the roster, the stats, you know, recent roster moves, NHL statistics, whatever, name it. I, you know, it's the weird little BuzzFeed pop quiz before I could have any serious conversation about hockey. I mean, granted, I'm much older now, but I never have that anymore. And it is I don't hear that, you know, at Caps Prom, at the bar when I'm watching games. And I love it. And I am so, so, so happy that that's not, you know, the mega norm. Yeah. You meet one or two guys who are still going to be like that. They also think old time hockey is, you know, the Bible, but I'm so, so, so glad. And I think it does just take things like, you know, New York Caps crew and Caps Prom and Russian machine parties and, you know, a good Twitter discourse, because it does have its cons, to keep these things going and to keep growing the community. I mean, whether you find hockey because of a Tom Wilson foam roller or you see Michael Kempney on the beach, hell yeah, come on in. And if that's the only reason you watch, welcome, because I'm so glad I do not have to search for a game anymore. It's just on TV, and that's really nice.
Yeah, there's no home team sports or whatever the heck that was.
Well,
yeah.
And I'm not wandering into a bar, and they have the same Washington football team on from like 1999, and I'm saying, hey, can I get, you know, the Caps game on? No, no one wants to watch that. That's never a problem. It's just on the TV because they're champs, and they're beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be a fan of a team that doesn't have a community that hosts Caps Prom. I feel like beyond I'm just a DC sports fan for everything, for better or for worse, I'm so blessed that my hockey team is the Caps because of this wonderful community that has things like Caps Prom. Like, can you imagine not having fun and just literally talking about stats and people skating and how many minutes they had? Sorry, no, not me.
It is a bummer.
I want Caps Prom.
Absolutely.
Like, I want the Caps Prom. I want my nicknames for boys. And you know what? Some of those players, too, they have their nicknames for them. Like, you see with the Caps wives' jackets, like, you don't see their name, you see their nickname. So, like, maybe we're helping to give them more of a personality, too, because they see that our community has a personality. I think it's great.
Absolutely. All right. Well, guys, this has been an, or well, not guys. This has been incredible. I guess
tweeting about you guys.
Absolutely.
That's why I say y'all.
Yeah. No, actually, I've grown to like y'all because it's one of those things that's I lived in Missouri for 6 years, and so whenever, and it also is a not gendered way to refer to a group of people, which is always good. So I'm gonna learn my own lesson, and I'm gonna try to drop that. I think I'll do one last roundtable question, and then we can all kind of do our plugs and get out of here. So I guess. We'll start with Marie here. You mentioned kind of having to learn, about hockey fandom or about hockey from Wikipedia and everything like that. If there's someone who's a new fan, kind of what would you recommend the process of being of kind of how to learn or how to watch hockey maybe with a little bit more for someone who's new, kind of how to watch it in a way that you would find enjoyable and kind of learn enough about what's going on?
To be honest, I think if you're just trying to figure out if this is something that you'd be interested in, the best thing to do is to just sit down and watch a game and just take it in. You know, I know a lot of people suggest, you know, you should, your first foray into hockey should be attending a game. And while it is definitely more exciting in person, I think the commentary, when you are starting from a zero knowledge base, I think the commentary that you get on TV, especially since we have the wonderful Joe B and Locker, I think it's really helpful because it you start learning names, you start learning the names of penalties, you start learning, you know, when they blow the whistle and the play is dead, they tell you why the play is dead. You may not know what icing is, but you know that it has been blown dead for icing. I think that kind of narrative helps when you don't know anything, especially if you don't have someone with you who can kind of, you can ask questions of and figure out what's going on. You know, the second best way is, of course, just go to a game. It's hockey is just so exciting in person, especially when you're in some place like, what do they call it now, Capital One.
Yeah, change names like eight times.
Changing
but
the name.
I know.
When you're in Capital One, like when the Caps four at home, it's like a bomb goes off. Like it's just, it's so exciting. You're high-fiving strangers. You're trying not to spill your, well, I don't drink beer, but you're trying not to spill your beer. And it's just, it's euphoric. And it's the kind of thing that when you're watching at home, you just don't get the same. It you just don't get the same experience. So anyone who's new, I always just say, just jump in both feet, you know, find you some fans online and just start chatting them up and, you know, watching clips. I think it's a great sport, to be honest. It's my favorite sport. I've been a basketball fan my whole life and hockey in a very short number of years. Became my favorite sport, even over basketball. It's exciting. The sport has a lot of work to do culturally. And I know personally people who that's been either a reason why they've hesitated to get into it or a reason why they've kind of dipped their toe in and then jumped back out. But the game on the ice, the excitement is really unmatched. And I think it's good enough to be worth fighting for. That's why I stick around. You know, I've had great experiences. I've had some not so great experiences. I think we all have, but the sport is just so much fun. And it's one of those things where I'm like, this is so great. And I want as many people as possible to be able to enjoy this. And that's why I do the things that I do. And I work with the groups that I work with to try to expand that to parts of the population that it would not necessarily reach on its own, because it's just so much fun and everyone deserves to be able to enjoy it.
Absolutely. And I want to say, yeah, from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate all of those efforts. I know, Marie, the first time we had you on Japers Rink Radio was maybe not the most ideal of circumstances to have you on for. But, you know, I think that I mean, whatever wing of the Caps blogosphere I represent or don't represent, I just want to say thank you for all of what you and really what everyone here has done. I just thank you a lot. I think it's made my experience. I think it's made everyone's experience as a fan a more enriching and strong and good experience, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to take credit because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm just some bozo. Spitting hot takes, but
that's gonna be a hard disagree for me. But
I strongly disagree. If anything, that's what we all are, so.
But you know, I mean, like I said, it's something that I enjoy. It's something that I like talking about, and that I think other people will enjoy. And so, if my tweets, you know, help other people think about something a different way, or get into something that they may not otherwise be interested in, then 100% for it. Like I said, I'm more than happy to have more fans come into the fandom. Hopefully they're Caps fans.
we'll
and hopefully they're Caps fans and not koozie haters. No koozie haters. You can go.
so you're not aboard the trading Kuznetsov.
Absolutely not. Well, this is the thing. I don't have any standards for Kuzi. Like, I don't care what he does. He can be great. He can be terrible. I love him. I think he's grand. And trading him would break my heart. When we traded Berkey, I cried in my office. So I'm really not. I'm not prepared for another breakup.
Yeah, and Fatou, you know, I same question to you, and I also want you because the Black Hockey Girl Club was in the news a little bit, being nominated for an NHL Commissioner's Award. So kind of, this is you know, I think a really exciting time for the group, and it's a group that I would definitely encourage everyone to support as much as they can. But kind of, if someone's a new fan, how would you kind of advise they get started, and kind of also, you know, talk a little bit about the Black Hockey Girl Club and everything like that.
Absolutely. So Marie had some like really great suggestions. I'm just gonna take it a notch higher. To her point, like, I really like the vocal aspect. Like, you know, I think, so for me, like Marie, hockey was not my favorite sport. It was actually football, but going to a game, top notch. Like, that is the best sporting experience I've ever had. I hate going to football games because they're slow, even though I love the sport. But hockey is so exciting, and every time you're screaming, whether it's like, oh, we're about to score, is the other team about to score, it's like, so high energy. So like beyond the obvious of trying to go to a game, which some barriers don't allow for it because it's not cheap, I would say, like, you know, social media is a great tool. Like, you know, find a group, because maybe, you know, you don't want to watch it alone. Maybe you want to go to a bar and watch it, and if you can find like a local group, like an NYC Caps crew or whatever they have in wherever you're from, to watch it. I would also say, like, the blogs like yours and Russian Machine, I leaned on those heavy, because even though I'm not too embarrassed to ask questions, because my friends know I didn't know things, so they were never annoyed when I would say, what is icing? What is this? But some questions some people don't want to ask, I would say, like, read the fun blogs. I think that I like a lot about the cast is that reading your blog have humanized the players, so it made it more fun to watch, because then you, like, in your head are like, oh, I think their personality is like this, and it just becomes cool. And another one, I know it's a very bizarre one, but I say everybody go look up Snoop Dogg commentary for hockey. It is the most incredible thing you'll ever witness, and I think the Kings are very lucky and very smart to, like, have Snoop Dogg as an ambassador for the Kings, and just watching his commentary, his play-by-play is incredible.
Yeah, agreed.
And I felt like it made the Kings commentators, like, play-by-play even better, because it was like, oh, maybe I would be too afraid to say this, or I didn't know how to say it in this way, but Snoop has such an incredible charm about him that you're like, if he is enjoying this game, maybe I want to watch and learn a little more too.
Yep. Agreed. And yeah.
So Black Girl Hockey Club, I've been so like lucky to find, and I also found them through Twitter. And it's essentially, you know, a safe space for, you know, Black women and their families and their allies to be able to love and enjoy the sport, whether it's in person or an online community. And I love, like I said, I'm really big on the community aspect of hockey. That's the favorite thing I found through hockey that I haven't found in the other sports that I watch. And I love how Black Girl Hockey Club, beyond just saying, you know, us Black women and our allies and our friends and our families, let's watch together. It's like, no, let's find a way to have more people who look like us get in the sport, whether it's through working with the NHL or other teams to like help their hiring practices so that they're actually hiring beyond their little friend club, which I know is a problem with every industry, but it's especially eye-opening in hockey.
Absolutely.
How do we get, you know, how do we get little Black girls to want to play hockey, and then once they dip their toe, to continue to afford to play hockey as barriers maybe beyond their control kind of are pushing them out? I just really love all the work and all the education that they're providing. It's made me love hockey even more. And, you know, something I always say, and people sometimes get mad at me, is like, if you love something, you're going to criticize it because you want it to be better. If I didn't love hockey, I wouldn't point out things that they could do better in. And if anybody is honestly watching, you would agree. Like, you know, let's say maybe 15, 20 years ago, you probably wouldn't have this type of podcast and these types of conversations, because people might not have thought beyond, hey, why does everybody just look like me watching sport, and not think, why does everybody look like me watching this sport, and how can we make it so that it's actually more diverse? Yep. Like, the types of ways of people thinking wasn't there. And you need like a Black Girl Hockey Club and all these other types of organizations to like make you start to think and make you start to say, because the elephant in the room was, how come this sport isn't growing? But you have to look beyond that. And you know, sometimes the reason is because a lot of people don't feel accepted to watch this sport. So yeah, it's just incredible to have a voice like Black Girl Hockey Club that is not affiliated with the NHL, but we do work with them, but not affiliated, because we can stay on our message and not feel filtered or feel silenced or feel like we have to pretty up a message when we are actually saying what we want to say. So, it's been great.
There you go. And you are, I think you're the fundraising chair, right? At the Black Girl Hockey Club, if I remember correctly.
I am the fundraising chair. And we've just, you know, right now a lot of it is just awareness and getting people out to actually know what we do and the programs that we have. And then, you know, who's going to say no to wanting to donate to help us create these amazing programs and continue these amazing programs like the scholarship fund?
Absolutely. And Lindsay, we'll conclude with you. You know, you're the veteran, as I've said a couple of times here, of the Caps fandom among all of us. Do you have any advice for new fans? Kind of what do you think led you down the path of being a Caps fan, and kind of how do you think we can get more people on board?
I mean, I know y'all can't see me, but I have been like the entire time Fatu's talking, I'm furiously nodding my head, and I'm kind of glad you can't see me because I look insane. I mean, if you're a new fan and you want to get into preferably Caps hockey, you know, don't be afraid to just ask questions. 9 times out of 10, someone's not going to be an asshole about it. It's just, do not be afraid to ask, whether it's icing, offsides, or what was that? And hey, why are they, you know, punching each other in the face and the refs are just standing there? Just ask questions. It's okay to ask questions.
I question that sometimes too. So.
Yeah. It's just like, y'all, what are you doing? But I mean, it's okay to also, as a brand new fan, if you don't even know, you know, what constitutes as a major penalty versus a minor penalty, and you don't know who the farm team is, you still have every valid reason to criticize anything that you want about the sport, especially the complete and utter lack of diversity. I mean, it's truly embarrassing. And I know that I'm extremely flattered. I'm kind of on this panel, but as the white woman, I am so embarrassed that it has taken this goddamn long to have, you know, an open, you know, discourse, or, you know, as much diversity as we've kind of started to move into the fandom, but you still look on that ice and it's like polar bears in a snowstorm. So I want to see that change. We need to see that change, and things like Black Girl Hockey are doing that. But any new fan, whether, you know, I hope they feel welcome. I hope they feel like they have every right as anybody else to kind of join in. Sorry, my phone just went off. I saw the baby move on the monitor. I just really hope that, you know, they have the freedom and they have every resource that they want to actually join in and enjoy the sport as much as, you know, I have for the past 20 plus years. So, which is embarrassing to admit that it's been that long, but no, I mean, it's great. And I feel like a lot more people, especially since the Caps have won the cup, feel like they can kind of just casually join in or casually watch. Again, if you have the opportunity to go to a game, hands down, do it. It's so much fun. I think I remember bringing one of our friends when I was a kid, and she was like a big, big soccer fan. And the minute the lights went down and one of those corny little intro videos started, she lost her mind. And the rest of the game was like, I don't know what's happening, but I love this. And seeing that, I really hope that everyone gets that opportunity, because it is just, it's nothing but fun. That's all it is.
Absolutely. All right. Well, y'all, this was a great discussion. I'll let people plug things, but before that, Fatu had to leave a little early, which we knew was coming. So I will plug her stuff for her. In this case, you can find Fatu at on Twitter at FATOUSADIO. You can also follow the NYC Caps crew at NYC Caps crew. I have a source telling me that I think they're looking to start maybe getting stuff back up again at some point. So you can always find that there. So that being said, Marie, where can people find you and your various musings on things?
Well, I'm pretty much just on Twitter. You can find me at cowgirl_bebop. That should probably tell you I'm also a big anime fan. Cowboy yep. Bebop, best show to ever air. And yeah, you know, as far as I'm concerned, once the Caps are out of the playoffs, hockey's over. So I'm not really talking too much hockey these days. But I will always chirp in whenever the mood arises. So if you
want or when Tom Wilson is in the news.
Or when Tom Wilson's in the news. If you want to talk hockey, if you want to talk K-pop, that is where you will find me.
There you go. And Lindsay, where can people find you and your various musings? And feel free to, again, promote Caps Prom, which I think you mentioned might be either like late this year or early next year, I think, is your plan. I don't know. Fill us all in.
I have to wait until the schedule's out, and then figure out, you know, the football schedule when we can actually hold it in a bar and have that entire space. But you can find me at Reco Slovakia. Sounds exactly or spelled exactly as it sounds. And Caps Prom, CAPSPROM. That's a pop quiz in spelling. I can do it, I promise.
I will say you both have much better Twitter names than me. So both of them, just everyone's is outstanding, and mine is just the boring @GregY_JR. But yeah, so I'll use that as a transition here to say, if you like the show, please rate, rep, subscribe, review. You can find me @GregY_JR. You can find the show at Japers Rink Radio. You can find the site at Japers Rink. I want to give JP credit again for the great music that kind of surrounds this podcast. It's from his album Isolation Station, which you can find on Spotify and I think most major music platforms. I think it's Spotify and Apple would be the two big ones, but there you go. And with that, we're going to continue new fan off-season content in a couple of weeks. We have some really exciting guests lined up that I will unveil at a later date, but one of them we're going to hopefully be able to have Allison Lucan on at some point to talk, kind of being a new fan, introducing to the analytics of it. And, you know, we also have, we have a couple of other really exciting people lined up. So with that, thank you so much to Marie Fatou and Lindsay for all joining, and look forward to a lot more Japers Ring content as we go. Thanks for listening.